Welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. It's got to be Wednesday night, 7 p.m., because we're here in Willoughby, Ohio, broadcasting our wonderful show, which talks about small businesses, defined as 1 to 25 employees. Any business or any industry makes no difference. We can talk about them. And when I say we, I'm talking about my esteemed partner, Adam Sunhalter. We have been partners in business now for 15, 16 years. We can't even keep count anymore. We've got to look at the calendar way back then. But we're here. We're here tonight to talk business like we usually do. Talk about items from the annals of our coaching. We're business coaches by daytime with a company called Maximum Value Partners, in which we have a program to deal with small business problems, and we've helped hundreds of people. We love it. We love the employees, or not employees, but the clients that we have, and we have a good time doing it. We usually try to pick out a subject that's going to be of interest, and tonight we're going to talk about how do you use, you as a business owner, your profit plan. How the heck do you do it? Do you even have one? I mean, if you don't have one, then we don't want you even to listen tonight. No, not really that bad. But, you know, we would expect you to have some kind of a plan looking forward to run your business. If you've been around at all in your business, if you're just starting, even then you have to have a plan. But how do you use it? What do you use it for? We're going to talk about that tonight and whatever else pops up. So, Adam, what do you think?
I think it's a great topic, Jack. And yes, welcome everybody to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. You can always be part of the show. We like to give the number out. We usually give out early. We may forget later. We'll give it out now because it's 440-946-9468. And in fact, what we find, Jack, is we find most people don't have plans. I don't care if they're new or if they actually, more people that are new have plans than people that are existing, we found. Because many of the startups get guidance, say, put together a business plan. That's often a common phrase to use if you're going to go out and look for investors or go to the bank and or try to find money of some type and kind. It's helpful to put a plan together. So we often find, yeah, that most people may have some ideas or thoughts in their head, but not necessarily a formalized plan. And the plan we're talking about is a profit plan here. It's one of the seven keys that we coach our clients on is the profit plan. And I always give this awful word, but it's a word most of you might use to describe it, which is the B word, which
oh,
is
man.
One of Jack's.
It. Don't say it, Adam. It'll ruin the evening for everyone.
What
listening.
If I spell it? Does that make it easier? Does that make it more palatable?
Some people won't be able to decipher what you're spelling. Go on, say it. Say the word.
I'll say it fast. It's a budget.
Oh, God.
Okay. We'll move on from that word.
No, wait. Are these small business owners in the business of making a budget?
You got it. That's a great question.
Making a profit.
You gonna stick them in a straitjacket, Jack? That's what it feels like or sounds like with a budget, right? I'm gonna tie you up and restrict you and keep you from doing stuff, right?
Yeah, they're in business to make profit. I mean, that's a fun word, isn't it? I'd like to wallow in the profits I make.
Wallow?
Not wallow in the budget that I made.
Well, that's
profit
a good
plan.
No, it's a good thing to do. It's one of the things that we help all of our clients with, and it's one of those things that can be very exciting, and it's the whole purpose of being in business, because if you don't have profits, the company and everything and everybody attached to it aren't going to survive. You can only lose money for so long if you aren't making money, folks.
Yeah.
But here's a dirty secret, right? This is the
dirty
secret
show.
Dirty secret alert incoming.
That's right. Get it out of the way. Here's the dirty secret, folks. Your profit plan is not going to be right. Let me repeat that. Your profit plan is going to be wrong.
Oh, why do I want to make a wrong plan, Adam?
Aren't we doing a good job of getting everybody excited about this, Jack, and get them encouraged about it, right? So if we know that most people don't have it, and they call it the wrong thing, and it's not going to be right, what the heck's the point?
Let me line up. I want to be first in line to do this. I want to learn how to do a profit plan that is going to be wrong.
People are starting to understand your masochistic ways, Jack. Also, I want to come and just give me some lashings and do some stuff that's punishing me, and it'll be good, right? So the purpose of the profit plan is not to be right. That's not the purpose of the plan. The purpose of the profit plan is to get your best thinking, best ideas.
Oh,
get them out of your head. Get them onto paper. Could have been some sort of digital form. But again, to get your best thinking out, and the idea is your best thinking for the next 12 months.
Oh, I like that idea. That's a good idea.
You're all okay right. with that?
I am.
So,
as long as you don't call it a budget.
All right, I did it once already, so you're pulling it out, Jack. I didn't even say that. I said the word once. I even offered to spell it.
You got it.
I can sign it to you, even though I know the sign language very well, but it's tough for the audience to hear it that way, Jack. So we can just refer to it as a B word from now on. People will know what we're talking about, the B word. So we want to get a profit plan pulled together because it's going to get our best thoughts out. It's going to show us how things are going. But the key is, how do you start to kind of use it? That's really the discussion for tonight. We want to talk about, how do you start to use this thing? So if you don't have one in place, there's other shows we've done or we'll do, I'm sure, in the future, too, to talk about how to get it in place. But the big thing today is, again, we're trying to get you excited about, here's some of the questions it's going to answer for you.
You're right. You know, most programs for teaching budding entrepreneurs or those that have already budded, basically they teach how to make a profit plan or how to make a budget. And basically, they don't really talk about how you use it, and that's what we're going to do tonight per Adam, and I agree 100%. We want to know how to use these plans. Making them, boy, that's really a great piece of satisfaction, and it grows dust in wherever it's domiciled, and you're basically going to have a plan that's useless. So you got to learn how to use it. And how do we use it?
That's right. That's
we're
right.
We're going to take from the annals of our deep coaching history.
Let me paint a picture. This is a story that's pretty well known here locally in the Cleveland area, but it's also nationally, as I talk about, people will recall a few years back. I say it's popular locally because there's a pretty well-known business owner in the area here. Not the business that they own here, but a business that they own somewhere else. Well, there was an issue. And there was an issue where, and think about your business. You know, did you have agreement?
Why aren't we going to mention this guy's
name?
I will. Okay, all right.
I'm building anticipation, Jack.
It's the program of expose.
I'm trying to tell the story, and you're interrupting the story.
Suspense is mounting.
Right, see? I've got Scotty on the edge of his seat in there, Jack. He doesn't know what I'm going to talk about. Jack knows what I'm talking about. He knows. He wants to get to it. I'm trying to build up to it.
Got me nipping at the bud.
All right, see? There we go. All right. So
nip, nip.
So picture your company. You have a lot of agreements with your company, I'm going to guess. You have different vendor agreements. You have different things with contracts here and there and everything else. And you often spend a lot of time negotiating, planning for, getting those things kind of pulled together. And it can be exhausting to kind of go through negotiations like that, especially with a key supplier of yours. Now, how do you know that they're doing what they've agreed to? You know, do you check on stuff to make sure that what the you and the vendor agreed to is actually happening, or
I put my crack team of auditors on it. Oh, wait, what if I don't have
your
crack team?
Yeah, you got a team of crackheads. No, the crack team of auditors. It's like talking to the guy who's going to be a guest next week. They're talking about small business, and he was I'm getting off track again, but it's coming top of mind. He was talking about going to the law department, right? It was a guy who had a background in big company stuff. He worked for, I think it was for Goodyear, wasn't it? But he was trying to advise a small business owner. He said, why don't you go talk to your law department about it? He goes, your what? My what? What's a law department? Well, in corporate America, he had a floor, whatever floor it was in the building, that had 120 lawyers at it that he can go talk to about anything, right?
That's right.
Well, the small business owners doesn't have a law department. They're lucky if they have a lawyer who they can call that's very trustworthy. But in any case, I'm sorry. So you have these vendor agreements, and do you have a crack audit team, Jack. That's great. Most owners don't have a crack audit team to be able to put on to make sure things are happening. Most people will genuinely trust that things are going to be done. Hey, we negotiated what we're going to do. Boom, we're going to trust it. Maybe they check early on to make sure it's going, but they often don't have things in place to be able to check stuff. So there's a story. Come back to that story.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it.
You're waiting for it. All right. So there's a little fuel company, little fuel company. It's got a few letters in it, but ends in one of it. It's called Pilot Flying J. The folks who are familiar with
Jimmy Haslam.
Jimmy Haslam, right? He's the Haslams own the Cleveland Browns, and it was within a few months of them purchasing the Cleveland Browns where all of a sudden there was an FBI raid into the headquarters of Pilot Flying J. Because they had a rebate program that was part of them competing in the marketplace to get folks who were driving around, especially truckers and transportation companies, to be able to to use the Pilot Flying J versus somebody else when they're traveling around this great country of ours. And wouldn't you know it, there was an ongoing scheme to not pay people their full rebates. And in fact, there was a lot of the smaller companies, the ones that didn't have that crack that team crack of auditors, teams. Jack, right?
Right.
That, again, they were probably either trusting or they're busy driving their trucks and vehicles around the country and just assuming that as I'm swiping my card in there, I'm getting my, whatever it was, my 2% or 3%, whatever the discount was, that it's all working just fine, right? When in fact, it wasn't. And somebody I covered, well, they weren't giving the full rebates that they negotiated. They figured, I think, you know, it depends who you believe. There's all kinds of testimony. If you're curious to look it up, you can go look for that case and read and watch videos to your heart content to find out. But, you know, there's the story that came out was that there was a plan by the management of Pilot Flying J, and many of the folks have been fired and some have gone to prison, to literally go against those agreements, Jack.
So all now, these agreements were prepared and sent to the users, but they weren't looked at or they weren't monitored.
They weren't monitored. They weren't checked. You're right. And so chances are, I'm going to guess, you know, they maybe did this with some small folks first, and maybe did it with a little bit of bigger folks, and they may have bumped into somebody that had. May not have been a crack team of auditors, Jack. Maybe they had a controller or a CFO type. Maybe, they were kind of maybe going towards a mid-sized company versus a very small company.
They probably They probably had a relative who didn't understand accounting, doing the checking. That would be more typical.
Well, something like that happens. So the my point is, again, I'm bringing up the Pilot Flying J because it's an example that folks are more aware of. And it reminded me of that when we had a client meeting recently, Jack, and I was talking about this, where with one of the biggest vendors that our client had, and they negotiated, it's been a vendor of theirs for several years now, and they continue to grow. The business grows, so obviously the vendor's growing, and they're selling more things, and more things are happening. They got thousands of literally parts moving around. And as they continue to increase their volume, they continue to negotiate better rates and bigger discounts. And the owner had a sense of the account manager, account executive, account salesperson, whatever you want to call this person, right? But the person who was handling the account for the vendor for our client. And our client didn't really like this person very much. Just didn't have a good feel about the person, okay? But hey, the company's doing well. They're delivering stuff. So I'll ignore my personal feelings for this person. But it's always kind of been there. So as part of the review of the plan and what's going on, this comes back to this long example of in terms of how do you start to use the plan. That's a topic of our show here. Looking at his profit plan for the year, what was going on? Here's what our forecasted margins are going to be. How come they aren't where they're supposed to be? What's going on?
That's right.
And they started to dig. And they started to dig some more. And lo and behold, they start going through all these transactions. They start to discover that, hey, what's supposed to be an extra couple percent points, well, they're applying it to the wrong price. You know, if you think about, you know, I'm sure many of you can relate to this. You've got that, whether it be the MSRP, right, the manufacturer suggested retail price out there. That's one price. You've got a bunch of different wholesale prices, different things that are out there. And so the agreement was to be able to apply the discount to a certain price, and they were applying the discount to the wrong thing. So they're applying the right percentage, but they're applying it to the wrong number. And it's amazing how the mistakes almost never happen, Jack, almost never happen in the favor of the small guy.
Isn't that something? I remember him talking about that and that discovery. And that's what that really is using your profit plan to drive these questions.
That's right. And so to be able to check on stuff, to check on, you had a hard negotiated agreement, you're ready to go, you're feeling good about a supplier, you feel good about them as a great, being a good partner for your business. I think it was the first Bush that said it. Was it trust but verify?
Trust but verify.
President Bush?
No, I think that was Reagan.
Is that Reagan? Okay. Trust but verify. That's a great thing to be able to do. All right. We have other questions to be able to answer like that in terms of how to use your plan. For instance, how do you decide if you're going to be able to draw on your line of credit or not?
Well, wait a minute, though. You mentioned this Haslam guy.
No, I got more. We got to our first break here, Jack.
Oh, okay.
So when we come back, we'll talk about Haslam some more if we talk
Good.
About that, too.
Yeah,
but stick around. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
All right, we got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right, and welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I am Jack Mancini. And we were talking about a guy named Jimmy Haslam, who owns the Cleveland Browns. And we're relating this to the bogus rebates that his company was giving people unsuspecting, thinking that they were doing real good. And I think some personnel changes might be in order for Jimmy Haslam and his team. And what I just wanted to suggest very briefly, because it kind of wandered through my mind, was he should hire Hugh Jackson.
Oh, my.
And if you don't know who Hugh Jackson.
Who Hugh? That's a tongue twister.
He basically could come and solve any problem, I mean, with the greatest of confidence. And he was Jimmy Haslam's buddy, or vice versa. So I'd like to see Hugh come back to town. Well, he wouldn't come back to town. I think they're
You want him to hire him for Pilot Flying J?
I want him to hire for Pilot Flying J and basically be that auditor who's going to oversee the rebate program.
The assistant, the associate?
Something, yeah. You know, he'll have to remind everybody he's in charge, Jack. He's the head guy, right?
That's right.
That's what Hugh's good at.
That's right.
All right.
The head guy.
So, yeah, our topic tonight is not about necessarily Hugh Jackson or Jimmy Haslam, but, hey, we're getting close to Brown season, but that's not why. We're going to talk about how do you use your profit plan. And so we gave an example in the first segment, which is why the Haslam name came up in terms of Pilot Flying J's issues. But as I was teasing on the way to break, Jack, this is something I think that many owners can relate to. Most owners have a line of credit, and many are very reticent to tap into that line of credit. That might be a $10,000 line of credit, might be a $100,000 line of credit, might be $1 million line of credit. Okay, lines of credit are very good for helping to plug holes in the business, for helping to smooth out if you've got some seasonality in the business, if you've got some growth going on. There's a lot of things that you can start to use your line of credit for. But if you don't have a profit plan in place,
how do you use it? That's right.
So let me paint the picture, Jack, and see if I get it right here in terms of how most owners are forecasting the business. Well, I wake up in the morning. I log into my bank accounts. I see how much money we have in the bank. I may go look at the mail, see if you have any checks that came in. And if we don't have any money, I'm starting to freak out a little bit, Jack.
A little bit.
A little bit, right? And if I don't have any visibility in terms of what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or next week, how do I decide if I should draw that line of credit, Jack? Hey, you know what? We got payroll due on Friday. Today's Wednesday. I got payroll due on Friday, and I'm 10 grand short of payroll.
Man.
So how do I decide if I draw that line of credit or not?
I don't know, Adam. I'm going to fold my company up because I don't know how to get out of that hole. No, that's one way.
The challenge is, if you got people at work, you got to pay them, right?
That's correct.
And I think most people can relate to this. Maybe they've been through. Maybe not going through this now. Maybe you went through this early on. Maybe it was you put some stuff on a credit card instead of going for a line of credit. Same kind of thing. A credit card is just another fancy term for an expensive line of credit, folks.
That's right.
Instead of charging you 5 or 8% interest, they charge you 20% and 30% interest rates. But It's a hard decision to make if you're not plugging into something, right? And we had a situation with a client of ours earlier this year. Had a plan in place for this year, ready to go, and all of a sudden there were some personnel changes. There were also some changes in the marketplace to where the plan we had in place, we weren't quite hitting that plan, all right? And so as we were talking about in the first segment, we have our best thinking on paper in terms of what we think this year is going to look like. Well, we still felt like things were going to be okay, and so hey, we see things turning the right way, making some progress, trying to find some people. Let's tap into the line of credit. So they started to tap into the line of credit. So their line of credit was just shy of $100,000. They made the first draw about $25,000 to come in, add some cash into the business, be able to pay some stuff, but to keep things going. And they knew they're going to be losing money for the next few months. That was part of the plan. They have a seasonal business, so they knew.
And they could see it. They could see it in black and white, exactly what was going to happen. Very important. That's the magic of the plan.
That's right. And so as it got through the first quarter was a little bit of a bigger loss than they had planned. They had to draw some more. Again, looking ahead, seeing where things are at. Constantly looking at the plan to see as they start to adjust. They weren't ready to adjust the plan yet at that point. Let's kind of keep going. As we're getting towards the end of the second quarter, things were, again, starting to pick up, just starting to eke out a profit and starting to kind of move in the right direction. And they made one final draw on it to make sure they get through this final push. And they started to adjust the plan. Part of the decision for that third draw is, let's look at the plan for the second half of the year. We have to adjust the plan. Because keep in mind, they had pulled together this plan for the year back at the beginning of the year, right? So we're talking about, you know, November, December of the prior year. Here we are now in June. So, hey, sitting here in June, I have much better sense for how July and August are going to look than I did back last November or December, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went and adjusted the plan. Let's adjust the plan for the second half of the year. What's the plan look like? Because one of the biggest things you want to do when you're trying to decide if you're going to borrow money or not is, I got to know how I'm going to pay it back.
The forecast.
The forecast. The forecast is that's a big part of this profit plan, is forecasting, Scotty. That's right. But if I don't have the forecast in place, if I don't have all the best thinking in place, if I don't have all those variables, because how many variables do you have in your business in terms of your customers, in terms of your vendors, in terms of your employees and suppliers and everything else that kind of goes on, the marketplace, things you're doing from a marketing standpoint? How do you decide what you're going to do? How do you keep it all in your head? You know, maybe you can do it early on in your head because the variables are fewer. But as you start to grow and you're getting a few employees, you're all of a sudden at, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 employees, how do you keep it all in your head? It's so difficult to do and making decisions.
Can't
so,
do it. Can't do it without a profit plan. You can't do it well.
No. Documentation.
Well, most
as you said, now, what you're describing at the outset, you talked about a plan is not perfect. It's not correct. And here's a case of a plan put together in January or November of the prior year or December, and here it is the end of the second quarter, and hey, it's not correct. We didn't forecast right. So what does that mean? Well, you go into the planning season with your best guess and you use that as a guide. And that works very well. And as you see adversity hit your company, basically you can adjust, even though it was never right to the penny. I mean, that's almost crazy to think that can happen. But you don't have to. That's not the purpose of a plan like that. The purpose of the plan is to serve as a guide, especially when there's tough times. If there's good times, it's a whole different story. We don't care about that. We take the excess profits and go out and drink, right?
That's one thing to do with excess profits, Jack. But yeah, it's getting that plan down and be able to see. And again, there's always, and this is one of those, I guess I'd call it more of a myth in terms of how most folks who are not in small business or not business owners see business owners. They see most of them as being tremendous risk takers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, there are a few swashbuckling entrepreneurs out there, folks, but most of them are very risk averse and a little more conservative, right? They aren't just out there, hey, let's kind of spend money for, they do, you know, do all kinds of stuff. They're trying to minimize what that risk is going to be. And so you're making calculated risks. Yeah, I understand there's potential downside, but again, I'm trying to mitigate those and make sure I'm looking at how things can happen. And if I don't have a profit plan, I don't have a profit plan to kind of orient things, to make sure I know if I'm going to make a change. You know, again, if also I'm going to draw on a line of credit, okay, well, there's a little bit of a change in my plan there, because also I have to pay some interest expense. I also have some debt that's there that I have to pay back. But I'm doing it because it enables me to do something with my business.
Right.
And it's not just I'm gonna sit here, I'm going to cross my fingers and cross my toes and whatever else I can cross, or, however you want to put good vibes out there, say your prayers, whatever you're going to do, and hope that things are going to turn around. And I'll just keep drawing that line of credit, drawing the line of credit. And it's interesting. There was a client of ours a couple of years ago talked about when he first went to the bank. And I'm not going to give the bank's name out here because I know it's probably a similar story for most banks. So our client went in there to get a line of credit. They were talking about, you know, what the options were going to be in the business that this person was in. They said, hey, a line of credit should probably work pretty well. And the banker told this guy, and again, this is he literally just sat down at the guy's desk, you know, 5 minutes before. He said, well, you know, most people come in and they get a line of credit and they draw the whole thing out within the first, you know, week or two, and then they don't pay it back. And it goes for a year, and usually the way they like to have line of credits go is you draw some line of credit and you pay some back, and you draw it and you pay it back, and you show that you can use it properly, right? You can pay it back and pay it back, you know, back down to zero. He said most people don't do that. They come in and again, within the first few weeks, if it's a $100,000 line of credit, boom, they come in and 100 grand's pulled out. And it sits there at $100,000 drawn for a year.
Mm-hmm.
He said then often what we'll do is maybe they'll renew it for a year, but then usually what happens is it gets termed out. That's a fancy term, right?
It is.
Term,
I'm just
gets termed out.
On it, Adam. What does that mean?
Termed out. What that means
term?
Is they'll. That's right. They bring the orange jumpsuits. No. and the shackles.
$1,000. Well, go on.
No, so what terming it out from a bank standpoint means, they'll make it into what they'll refer to as a loan. And a loan's different from a line of credit. The loan being, like most of us are familiar with loans, right? Maybe I got a car loan, or I got a mortgage. There's a certain time frame of that loan. There's a set monthly payment, right? So when they say term it out, say, hey, what basically they're saying is, hey, Jack, you've shown me that you aren't capable of controlling yourself. You know, you go in and you binge and you suck all the money out, and then you don't put any of it back in, right? So we're going to help you do that, and we're going to say, hey, let's term this thing out over the next 7 years, and for the next 7 years, every month you're going to send us a check for $2,000, and that's going to help take that $100,000 note that you borrowed from us. It's going to pay that back plus interest, and you'll just pay a couple grand a month for the next 7 years, Jack.
Good deal.
And then what will happen is usually we'll give you another line of credit, because we can now give you maybe a $50,000 line of credit, and usually it starts to repeat itself. And you feel like, okay, I feel better now because I'm paying a couple grand a month. I can afford that, and now I got more money that's here. And a lot of owners, folks, are in that spiral. That, you know, if I call it a downward spiral, but it's a potential downward spiral, potential black hole of getting in that debt hole. And it's a scary place to be, especially if you don't have the visibility and the beacon of light called a profit plan.
Very good. Very eloquent. That was.
You sound surprised, Jack. Come
no,
on. All right.
It was.
So, other decisions. Well, wait a minute. What if the plan's working? Well, stay tuned. You'll find out what you do with the plans working. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini. I can't wait to hear.
All right, stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT, 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, online, WINTradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini. We're going to hear a good story right now, aren't we?
I hope so, Jack. So we're talking tonight about how do you use your profit plan. We've talked about what the purpose of it is, and we're starting to get into how do you use it and give some good examples for it. The first couple examples were if things maybe aren't going well you want to check on. But as we went to break, we talked about what happens when the plan's working. It's working. Well, we had a client we were just meeting with, and we're 7 months into the year, and they're within a couple percent of the plan. I mean, they're on pace for the original plan to hit the plan. So
7 months.
So what do? We just, human nature, let's kick back, relax, we're doing great, high fives, we're all, right? Is that how it works? Right? It just happens, right?
My companies, that's right. So spend until it's gone.
So I was thinking back. So junior year in college, I was taking a marketing class, and this is my first marketing class. And we had a little competition. So, you know, we'd group us into four or five each of teams, and we had a little software company. And it was a four-week thing where it was a competition to see who could sell the most, what was kind of going on. And we go in, do our initial plans, get stuff out, get things out in the market, and things start to happen. And, hey, first week, bam, we nailed it, man. We're first place. We're killing everybody. We're doing great, right? So now we didn't know what the hell we did, right or wrong. We just said, okay, well, we're doing okay. Well, now we got to make some tweaks to it. We learned some new things this week. Let's make some tweaks to the plan, right? So we make some tweaks to the plan. All of a sudden, zoom, starts going the wrong way. But we're still kind of there. The people are creeping up on us, and we're kind of even out. Okay, so there's two or three of us that are kind of about the same that second week. All right, well, we got to make some more changes, Jack. I'm sure what. So we can make some more changes, right? starts keeps going. It's going the wrong direction, right? So by the end of the fourth week, we're kind of on that exact wrong hockey stick. For those of you who don't know what hockey stick, I mean, you know what hockey stick is, probably can visualize that, but that's often referred to when you see an early stage company or startup, they often have what's called a hockey stick projection, which is, yeah, you start at zero today, and it quickly ramps up to where it's like, you know, it'd be 10 million like in a couple of years, right? It's just this big growth, right? Well, picture that hockey stick going the other way, right? We had the big, big thing to start, and then all of a sudden it's almost like going off the cliff, right? But to our credit, we went in and we had to present after the fourth week. We said, hey, the goal of this project was to get the most sales, and we got the most sales over the four-week period. Ignore this trend and all. Ignore the details, right? So we got a little bit, I don't say laser complacent. Again, we didn't know what was working for us, right? We were trying, but again, we didn't know what we did right the first time to go wrong. Well, if I have a profit plan, usually we have a much better sense of what's kind of going on. So let me come back to this client of ours who's on pace, right? Well, they're not going to sit back and put their hands on their behind their head, sit back and relax. It's like, look, we're looking at what's kind of going on. We're on pace. Hey, we still got a hole, though, to get our plan. We have to get another $1 million in revenue. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we start going looking at what our sales funnel is going to be. So it's not the plan isn't to get us comfortable. We can sit down back and relax. It's, hey, it's tracking us. It's helping to drive the activities. No, here's what we're all aiming for. It's, again, I mentioned that beacon of light, you know, coming out or going into the last break, Jack. Here's our plan. Here's our goals for the year. Here's our goal for sales, our goals for profit. Okay, everybody knows what we're trying to do.
And you got assumptions there to back it up. And if you're ahead of schedule, your assumptions will be revisited and they'll be adjusted accordingly. Without the plan, without the assumptions, you're flying blind. There's no question about it. So right. You need that. And in good times, like you're talking about, we're going to look at our assumptions and say, boy, we can ramp this thing up. We, you know, we came in too low, obviously, for these reasons, because the assumptions will show that.
Right. There can be some big things that start to happen, right? That's so right. If you have that kind of going on. So, again, the plan does – again, when I say it's not right, we said at the beginning, it's not right. So, again, even a few percent, it's not – it's close, right? But it feels like it's right because we're pretty close to making it happen. But, it's got to be used where it's helping to make sure it's driving all your activities to make sure you're going to get to that. Even though you're halfway there, you're three-quarters of the way there, you got to finish it. You know, we had a client that was a personal trainer for years. He used to talk about, he said, they don't give out gold medals for the 90 meter dash. It's 100 meters. You got to finish the whole 100 meters to get there, right? Even though you're winning at 90, you got to get that last 10 meters to get across.
You
got to
take it over the top. You got to take it to a new level. You know, talk about profits and losses. That's the P&L that you guys talk about all the time. You have to have those in line with your budget. That goes hand in hand.
Don't say that word.
You have to break through
no
to the
budgets.
Other side.
You said the
profit plan.
Word.
Profit plan.
Hey, there you go.
That's it. I mean, you have the profit plan. You see everything ahead of schedule. You see it forecasted, like we said earlier. You have all these things, all your ducks in a row, and you foresee it. You make it happen. You make it a real thing. You make it what you want. Right. I mean, you have what all you have going, all your revenues, all everything in the right place, and then you execute. You right. make it happen. You talk to, you know, all the people you talk about, employees, your clients. Those are your clients. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Employees, they have a similar profit plan, but it's a different scale to
yeah,
what
you guys
have.
It's their own personal one. That's right. And it's keeping those things in mind, because you know, what happened, like with this client we're talking about, they had something, again, even though they're hitting the plan wasn't, again, they had an idea. They had some assumptions in terms of customers and things that were going on or number of people that they were going to hire. They had a sense. All those details weren't necessarily right, but the overall plan was doing okay. Yeah, but again, there's so many things that happen day to day, right? So, like for instance, this client also had some people that were doing some projects now that got pushed off till either later this year or to next year.
That gives you The plan gives you those choices to make.
But again, that might have been a kind of a depressing thing. Saying, "Oh, gee, all of a sudden I had some stuff I was counting on. Like all of a sudden now it's getting pushed off into next year." But wait a minute. Okay, well, hey, we're doing okay so far. And I go and look at, okay, well, maybe the ones I thought I had, again, I thought they were going to be in for maybe the third or fourth quarter. Okay, I got to push them out. Well, who else is going to fill that gap? Who's going to fill that gap? And if I have $1 million hole to fill and I got nothing in the pipeline, I got zero, I have no prospects, well, guess what we're going to do for the next 5 months? We're out there knocking on every door we can to find to get that $1 million in, right?
Oh, man, that's right.
So if nothing else, the plan helps to make sure you're driving your activities so you know what to focus on. Because, again, as an owner, you have so many people, so many things tugging at you. How do you know what to focus on? How do you know what to direct people to focus on? If you don't have the plan, it's very difficult. We've got the plan. It's a great tool to rally everybody around to make things happen. Even when it's working, it can work better and to make it work better for you.
That's right.
Like you said, I mean, you nailed it. When things are in disarray around you, other people don't know what to do. It's about honing in that good energy and that focus to get your profit plan where it needs to be. And when you can get all the things laid out, all the stones that you're walking across to be in line across the ocean or wherever you see these stones, wherever your imagination flies and soars, then you just walk across those stones. You already have the plan placed. You just have to execute.
Got to walk on water, too. That's a good thing. All right.
That is.
So
I like that one.
What's that, walking on water?
Absolutely.
So one of the things that we don't usually have in as an assumption in the profit plan is one of your employees coming and asking for a big raise.
Mm.
Right, that's not usually one of the line items that you have. You might,
all these issues and problems that Adam's describing here are taken from our coaching clients. And, you know, we see this all the time. So these are real problems with real answers to them.
And I'm sure many of you listening have had this happen to you. And it's true for certainly for small companies. Bigger companies, not as much. You know, again, if you got 1,000 employees, if one of them leaves, again, even one that's really great, you have 999 other folks that kind of fill those gaps, right? But with a small company, usually you've got a handful at most of key employees. We're talking small. Remember, we're talking 25 employees and less, right? So if you got you and you may have a handful of other key people, if one of those other three or four people were to leave, they're probably going to hurt more than the other 20 that you have. And what do you do? And it can almost feel like you're being held hostage at times, right? Because it's that balance, Jack. We talk about trying to find good people. And you find good people. Well, part of finding good people is you got to take care of them, okay?
That's right.
And pay is one way to take care of them, get them involved, and get their input on stuff. But here they, you know, picture this. We had a client that this happened and came in and said, hey, you know, I keep taking on more stuff. I'm doing well. Keep growing. You know, I need more money. I got people. Here's what happens. Hey, I got people calling me every day. People are calling me on the phone. Competitors are calling me, and they're offering me 30% more than you're paying me.
And this guy talking was, about talking this guy to my was good too.
Yeah,
he was legitimately good.
So you know, I go home. You know, you got Jack. You've been married for going on 50 years. I've been married for over 20 years. You go home, talk to your spouse about it. Guess what your spouse says? Hey, what are you, an idiot? Like, you know, I know you love the owner. She's great. Everything else, but you know, hey. This person's offering you 30% more, honey. Come on, what are we doing here, right?
Go where the money calls.
Well, and so, again, money is important. Let me make this clear. Money is important, okay? And it's an important part. And the way we counsel and guide our clients is we say, look, make sure you're in the top 25% in terms of how you pay your people. If you take care of them that way, you know you're paying them well. It's all the other things then that become tremendously important, okay? So if I'm taking care of you and I'm paying you well, the culture becomes very, very important. The fact that I'm involved, what's kind of going on, I have a say, I have a voice, or not that you're doing everything I want you to do, but at least my voice is heard. They have a chance to be able to kind of grow and get better and learn. You're making investments in them. There's a lot of things that are part of what keeps employees, good employees there, okay? Because good employees don't want to be jumping from one place to another. Because it's difficult. Even for good people, it's, again, to have to uproot yourself and go here and there. And trust me, folks, good people are not the folks that are going to leave you for an extra dollar an hour. Or an extra couple percent. They aren't, because if you're doing things right, what you have should keep them there. So part of the way, come back to the plan here, how do you plug us into the plan? Because, again, we have our plan laid out. We got our employees that are there. Things are kind of going on. Well, picture this person leaves. Okay, so, hey, let's not give this person the raise. We pull them out of the plan, right? So I have some savings there. Now, how are we going to plug the gap for all things that this person was doing? Now, Mr. and Miss Business Owner listening here, the initial start is might be, hey, I'll jump in and do some of that stuff, right? That's usually how it goes. It starts to fall on the shoulders of the owner, right? Well, they start doing more stuff, right?
Right.
Or you may put it on the shoulders of your team. But again, we're talking about a good person. This is not one of those where you got a person who's a pain in the butt and it's going to be addition by subtraction. This is a key person in the organization. Everybody is going to feel it. Everybody's going to be upset that this person's leaving, okay? So you pull a person out. How do you replace them? And it's funny, what usually you find is these good people are doing the work of one, two, three, maybe even four people, because they're that good, folks, okay? And so, hey, if I got a person here who wants me to bump them from, let's say, 70 grand to 90 grand, and I say, no, forget that. Well, I got to find four people that I got to pay, or three people I got to pay 30 or 40 grand each to. Also, I'm paying more, and I have less quality. So it becomes easier to start making it. You start to look at the analysis. Start looking how it starts to impact your plan. Or if this person who's so good, usually if they're good internally, they're probably good externally too. And the customers like maybe you might lose some customers. So all of a sudden, you start to look at what's the impact of just this one person and say, hey, I can probably afford to pay this person a little bit more. Here's why. You start to make the case for it. But you start to make the case and look at it in terms of the overall business, not just one individual employee. If you're doing it just that, boy, that is tough.
It is.
That is tough, folks.
And finding that one good employee, that's one of our biggest challenges that we have, to counsel people on how to find a good employee. And not only that, but how do you pay him? How do you make that person feel challenged in a very positive way? And it's a difficult, you know, it is a difficult thing to explain what a good employee is all about. But once you find one and experience it, it's one of those things that, my God, I should have done this years ago. To Adam's point, they probably pay for four employees. One good one can do that with a small business.
All right. Good. Well, very well said, Jack. And when we come back for our final break, again, this is one of the fastest hours in radio and podcast, folks. We're going to be talking about, again, where it works well, what else can you do? But there's also some situations where, what if you have a project that you're counting on that gets pushed back? So stick around. We're going to talk about that, and as well as other things you do. How do you use your plan? How do you use your profit plan? I'm Adam Sunhalter.
440-946-9468. That's the number to call tonight. I'm Jack Mincy.
All right, stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mincini.
And we're talking tonight about how do you use your profit plan. We've given some good examples and some scenarios that you may have been through. Let me throw another scenario at you, Jack. In this day and age, and I know this is a struggle for many small business owners, how do you know when you can offer health care? Should I offer health care? Because it comes off your point about good employees are, you know, going to break, Jack, right? Is it impossible to find a good employee without health care? No, because they may be married or they got through some other benefit. But certainly having health care might be a nice, attractive thing to have. And depending on the business, many of your competitors might not offer that. It could be a nice way to do it. Well, how do I decide if I want to do that or not?
Well, that's true for any big expenditure, any big commitment. The answer is going to be the same. That basically, you're going to consult your profit plan to see what you have spent up to this point, what the forecast looks like for the rest of the period that you're talking about, and you can now make a decision. If I bring on this employee, it's going to cost me $50,000 for the rest of the year. Can I afford that? Maybe, maybe not. But without the plan, I don't even know how you'd frame that in a very intelligent business-like way. You wouldn't.
Right. Yeah, it makes it tough, right? And even if you have health care now, for instance, there are some folks that still offer where the company pays 100% of it. And that's a nice benefit. And that's something that people have been doing for a while. And over the years, a lot of folks have reduced that to where, hey, they start to share some of the costs. Maybe the employees start to pay 20% of it or 30% of it, or maybe they pay half of it. And those are tough decisions. It's tough, and you get up there, and it's almost like the airlines, Jack, right? I mean, it used to be back in the day, you buy a ticket and you get everything, right? Everything from real silverware to food and everything else,
over
right?
Over the days.
Right.
That's right.
You know, free bag, as many bags as you want to kind of put on, do everything else, right? Now, all of a sudden, it's all a la carte. Right? Everything's been pulled away. Now, it's like you can add things back and add things kind of back. So, but it took a little while. People didn't like that because they're used to having things a certain way. So, believe me, this is not going to be like the employees aren't welcome with open arms. Oh, yeah, please, you know, pass on some of your costs to me. That's fantastic. I'll start paying some money. They aren't going to look at it that way. So it's a question of how you start to kind of present it and talk about it. And so if you're able to lay things out and talk about it, here's what's kind of going on. Hey, if I've got 15 employees and our annual insurance costs $100,000, okay, well, that's a benefit to you that's coming out of my pocket. If all of a sudden we're having a tough year, things are kind of going on, or we're forecasting a slow period, where all of a sudden we're going to start to maybe lose some money. Okay, well, maybe I'll do that for a little bit, but is that my job as the owner to keep losing money and keep paying for all this stuff?
Well,
a lot
it's
of
the profit
people think
plan.
So.
Well, I hope not. Yeah, no, the profit plan will
it's
sort
the,
of show.
It's the profit plan. It's a wide scope. You guys talk about the profit plan. It's a wide scope. So if you're spending $50,000, you better be getting what you think is $50,000 at least in return. And that's at least.
Right.
You want to be getting at least 80, because that's how you gain the profit plan in the first place.
That's right. So you make the money back, right? So, but it's starting to be able to look through and start to see what the impact's going to be, right? So any kind of decision, again, it's very, very important to do that. You know, if you got a project, I mentioned that on the break too. If you got a project, we had a client that had a project that was delayed. It was supposed to be starting, we're in August now. Holy cow, it was supposed to be starting, I think, back in May or June.
Yeah.
And it keeps getting pushed and pushed. And it's things that are out of our client's control. And being up here in the north, it's an outdoor project. And so were constricted in terms of number of months you could do stuff, right? Again, there's just the weather. If ground is frozen and snow's flying, it's hard to do some of those things outside.
That's a giant impact on his company, on his profitability,
right.
His forecast. Yeah.
So, you know, it got to the point where, you know, wasn't changing the plan. Again, this is, you know, going into it, and then finally this last month had to make an adjustment to the plan. Say, hey, look, you know, we can't get it all done this year, but we can get some of it done. Well, let's look at and see what happens. If all of a sudden I take that plan and I cut half that out in terms of that project, what happens to the numbers? What's going to happen to the numbers? Now,
there's an influx.
There's a big difference, right? Now, in this particular case, the impact wasn't as painful because a lot of the work is going to be done by folks that are going to be subcontracted out. So it was going to be done by folks outside of the company as opposed to employees that were in the company, right? That helped to cushion the blow a bit and able to say, hey, if I take this out and if I cut the project in half for this year and push half it into next year, still showing a decent profit this year. Still. Okay, but we still got to get that first half done. Because if I pull the entire project out, also now we're back down to where we're going to be bumping along. Maybe losing money, maybe making a little bit of money, but not necessarily the exciting plan that we had 6 months ago or even 3 months ago. And so, okay, but starting to adjust. We're just starting to temper it a little bit. And what's beautiful, too, is we're starting to now build some of the plan for next year. Because we're taking things that were hit this year, we're now pushing them off. They're going into next year, okay? And you start to get really good at this, and you start to kind of do these things.
You get creative because you're focused. You know, you have to adjust. That adjustment is always made relative to a prior thought, a prior analysis. So the making a decision becomes pretty easy. Not necessarily a happy decision, but it's an easy decision because you basically have the information available and the assumptions.
You're not flying blind, right? And it's correct. Come back to the comment before about risk-taking, Jack, right? Where it's, again, we're taking certain risks, but you're doing it with good information, at least the best information you've got. You're including all the variables that are there. You can see it.
To minimize risk.
Yeah, so you help to see it. It's okay, yeah, I'm knocking those cons off. It's okay, yeah, there's risk of everything. This one's the best choice for us to kind of move forward, you know? And so if you get into this rhythm, you get in the rhythm of starting to do the plan, and let me take a big step back. We've been kind of down in some of the weeds here and stuff. Let me kind of get back up and get people excited here before we have to leave. So a big part of why you have a company is eventually you're going to want to get out of the company. Eventually, right? There's a few ways to do that. One is you could just die, you don't have to worry about it, and that, you know, okay, hey, that's somebody else's problem, right? That's one way to exit. Six feet under, right?
That's one way to exit, right?
You mentioned earlier, Jack, about closing things down. You could always close the business down. That's always an option, right? The other option is you could sell the company. Sell it, right? And there's many options there. I mean, sell it or gift it if you've got family. Maybe people want to gift it to the family. Or they sell it internally. They may look outside to sell stuff. But eventually, you're going to want to exit the business. And let me tell you, folks, one of the things that helps to increase the value of your company more than anything else is your ability to show that you understand your numbers, how things work, that you show an ability to be able to plan. If you can show, picture showing a track record where you're laying out your plan for this year, for last year, for the prior several years. You're able to show somebody, here's what our plan was, here's what our actual numbers were. And you see a nice pattern where all of a sudden you're able to predict what's going on, or you're able to show, here's where, if you have dips, you're able to explain what's going on. Here's what happened here, here's the choice we made here. Here's, again, you're talking about what's kind of going on. Because they're going to see it that way too. They're seeing numbers. They're seeing dollar signs. They're seeing how things start to work. So we've had the good fortune of a lot of long-term clients. And as you might imagine, as part of that long-term relationship, eventually some of them get to the point where they're starting to consider this being looking to exit the business. And picture being that situation where all of a sudden you got a plan in place, you're feeling good about this year, and you're just killing it. You're doing so good. You're beating the plan. You're thinking, man, this is a great time to sell, but it's also, is it an awful time to sell? Should I sell now? I mean, we're doing better than we planned. You know, am I gonna leave money on the table? You know, should I just maybe we wait a little longer, and then you get those demons in the back of your mind go, well, gee, if you wait, you know, and you wait 6 months or a year, a couple of years, and what if things all of a sudden change and the marketplace changes, or something happens that you can't plan for, or you can't do anything about it? What happens then?
You don't want to wait too long, but you don't want to sell too early.
Right. So you try to balance
that.
But
a little bird in the hand is worth two.
Yes, it is, Jack. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. But so what do you do? Well, you can still negotiate, right? If you're, if all of a sudden you're starting having discussion about things, you start to maybe, well, you maybe you had a number in mind coming into this year where you say, hey, if somebody were to write me a check for X, I'm done. That's it. That's a good number for, right? Well, if things keep getting better and better, well, it's not going to be X anymore. Maybe it's X plus something, or it's two times that, whatever it might be. You start to then ask for more. Hey, my number before, Jack, was three. That's gonna make it four. This year's been a killer year. If you want me to walk away from this, man, it's gonna cost you $4 million now instead of $3 million. Okay, right. But here's why. I can present my plan to you. Here's what's going on. Here's what we're doing. Here's what our plan was. Here's what we're doing. And here's what's going into next year. All of a sudden, I can get you excited as a potential buyer for what's kind of going on. If you have that mentality, folks, you have that down. Again, think longer term. Here's what you're trying to be able to do. Start today doing this. Don't wait. Don't wait till next year. You can always put a plan together. As we're talking today on the show, we mentioned people revising their plans. Here we are, August 7th. What's the plan for the rest of the year for you? What's that look like? Start getting those things kind of figured out, and you'll be much more comfortable. You'll be able to reduce your risk and have a lot more fun in your business.
All right. Those are all good points, Adam.
We're going to be joined next week. We have a guest, Ned Parks from Aegis Consulting 360. He's also a Goldman Sachs graduate. So it's going to be our monthly visit with the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business graduate. And Ned's in here to kind of tell our story. Ned's he was on the radio for a while too. So he's got some good experience with the radio. We'll see what's going on. He's got a very interesting story, very entertaining guy. We have a few questions we can't ask him on the air. We talked about him off the air, but it should be very, very good. So you can tune in next week. You can hear that. And we're here on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. If you want to get a hold of us between, shoot us an email at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. If you missed any of tonight's show or any of the prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. You can also go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever your favorite podcast of choice is. Go there and subscribe. Get delivered right to your smart device. Please leave a review when you do that. Would be fantastic. Hey, learn more Dirty Secrets of Small Business next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Hey, thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.